Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And you're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for the needlework artist. Okay, so no stitch hour tonight because this is the podcast week, which is what we're doing right now, is recording the podcast. We'll be back with a stitch hour next Wednesday, the 27th. That will be a stitch and chat show. And Facebook has things fixed, and I'm going to do some testing, so we should be able to broadcast to YouTube and Facebook.
Woohoo!
Yeah, but hey, we're relying on Facebook, so, you know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but, don't hold your breath.
Yeah, I'm not. Plus, I have to do another round of testing to make sure it's going to work. You know, it's like, come on.
Right.
Sunday's guest, Sue Reed. Oh, did I have I had to go solo on that one. Sue Reed, if you don't know, County Canvas designer, what a tremendous lady. Wow. We had a great time. So,
yeah. And her designs are fantastic. So I'm so glad you were able to talk to her.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, she was really good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be a good one to listen to.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. The majority of hers, you know, if people haven't tried County Canvas, the majority of hers, are smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Like the canvas size is 10 inches or smaller. So they're very approachable, won't take you forever. And I've done a couple there. Yeah, she does a really good job. They look really nice when you're done, too. I mean, it's just a really good, mm-hmm. really good designer. And she ranks them. If you go to her website, she will rank them as beginner, intermediate, advanced. But even the advanced ones are, you know, with a little determination, they're quite doable. So. What a wonderful lady. Oh boy, I had a great time with her. Yep.
And that'll be a good listen. Good
yep.
listen, because she's a great designer. Great designer.
She is. So while I was doing that, you were at the Sassy Jacks September soiree.
Yes, I was. Not that I attended much. I was more listening and popping in and out. It was a busy weekend for me. Family stuff and all.
Okay, but, okay, first question on that. All right.
Okay.
Now, see, I wanted to do it this year. I just can't block out entire days like that. It doesn't work. So, am I doing that wrong? Because I mean, you're not someone who has entire days either.
Right.
How do you approach that? Maybe I'm just doing it wrong.
So I think she started at noon our time on Friday, and it went through Sunday at midnight on Zoom. So I was able to pop in when she first started and watch her introduction. And then I had to leave. I don't know what happened. I had to leave. Who knows? So you can pop in and out. And I think one year I got the kit and I was totally gone the whole weekend. I don't think I attended at all.
Oh.
But she sends out afterwards links for things she's recorded, like, or if there's lectures that are recorded or workshops that were recorded. She'll send you links to that about whenever she has time, like the next week sometime, you'll get those links in. And so you can go back and watch them. So this time she had, I can't think of her name. Her first name is Anne, and she's called the Proper Stitcher on YouTube. And she just started designing. So there was, she did a YouTube, like a Zoom meeting with her. And that was recorded, I think they ended up recording it. And so you could watch her and kind of ask her questions, kind of like we do with our live YouTubes. And then the one I missed that I'm very upset about that I couldn't make it, but it was Barbara Hudson of Queenstown Designs was on Sunday. And they didn't record it because they got to see her next designs that are coming out.
Ah.
Uh-huh. so
and then
had,
you couldn't watch it. Ouch. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's like, oh. So again, and especially for Queenstown Designs, the photos on them, to get a good photo is so difficult. People were oohing and aahing over the live. They could see the sampler. She would show the samplers on the video.
Yeah.
And so people were, you know, like, ooh, I need that one, and I need that one, and I need that one. So
yeah.
I popped
yeah.
in and out.
Whenever Barbara does something, it gets expensive, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I popped in and out. there was two, I took the Mabel took Small's workshop. So she offered like three different workshops. One was the Mabel took, one was a Bargello. Oh, she offered one on stitching on linen if you'd never stitched on linen.
Oh, that's good. And
then, yeah, and then one was like a band sampler, which was really pretty. I'm hoping she's going to let us all maybe purchase that, or maybe when I go to Sassy Jack's, it'll be there that we can purchase it. Because it was really pretty. It looked very, you know, that area, Blue Ridge Mountains kind of area. Anyway, but I went to the Mabel Took, the first one, and, you know, she kind of discussed how to start the design, where to start, where to go. And then there were links for the specialty stitches that we could click on if you didn't, you know, didn't know how to do an eyelet, satin stitch, Bargello. And the one I haven't watched, which is the queen stitches, where I stopped on my piece. But so that was nice. So, you know, it's a small piece. I was pretty much able to stitch it over the weekend and was able to join in that one class. But so then she had another, at least one more with Mabel Took that I couldn't attend. So it's like, well, that's all right. That's just how it is.
But so, she also, okay. So is it a like three solid days of classes, or are there sessions where you just stitch and?
Yeah, just sessions where you kind of you're in a Zoom room is how she set it up.
Okay.
And again, I really didn't have time this weekend to just sit and, you know, visit with people, which is I actually like doing that because then I get to meet people from all over the country that you'd never be able to meet. And but I'm in my house. I don't have to go anywhere. And if I want a cup of coffee, I just walk to the kitchen.
Yep.
So that's all for me. That's nice. You know, you're not paying for a hotel. You're not going out to eat. You know, you're just sitting and stitching in your own little space.
Right.
So that's nice. But yeah, and that's come and go. You know, people, I don't know how late people stayed and how early people got there. But yeah, so that's, it was kind of pop in and out. And I think the problem is in the fall for most people, it's busy. There's lots of, there's other retreats going on, but it's just a busy time of year. You know, for me, I'm canning. I'm in the middle of canning season still. You know, I'm still canning apples here. So it's like, and so I think I'm hoping she we kind of talked about it as a group, you know, what would we be interested in continuing it? Because I think not as many people, she kind of limited the number this time, you know, because she's still not in her shop.
Yeah.
And we suggested, you know, doing something in the winter, you know, when it's, nobody can go anywhere, you know, and it'd be great over a weekend to do that. So we'll see if she's able to start up the soiree. But the other thing is we got a really nice swag bag. So she sent a felted pumpkin and then like an orc catcher, which is a, something with a little lid. And then you could hear me shaking it. There's a charm in there from a little acorn charm, which Kathy Haberman sent with her Mad for Plaid design.
Okay.
And then Kim also sent, and I don't know who makes this. It's called On the Edge Display. It's like a little wooden thing you put together. And you paint it and glue it. And so you can stick like a pillow or a flat fold finish on it. Oh. And then it's got a little cup holder, a little place to put stuff like your scissors, kind of make it decorative. And then she sent a bespoke, a little design. Every year she makes a design. And this one has, is just adorable. It has scissors and pumpkin and a squirrel. And then the threads for that design and a little piece of fabric. And so, and that came, and then, she sent a foam core so you could finish your piece after you stitched it and put it on your little wooden display.
Yeah.
And some people actually got the piece stitched.
Of course they did.
Of course they did. They, well, you know, if you sat there and stitched all that
time.
Yeah.
It would be, and you had the threads. You had the threads, you had a needle, you had your fabric. You just needed a hoop and a pair of scissors.
Yep.
Which is nice. So.
Always amazed by people who can just sit there. Yeah. Any event, event's over. Yep, got it. Oh, man, you got to be kidding me.
And I'm not. I don't normally sit that much. And if I'm in with a group of people, I'm normally flitting around talking to people, moving, you know, just how I am. But it was nice. It was a nice weekend getaway just to, even if though I was just popping in and out, to see what other people were stitching. They did do a little show and tell a couple of times. It was all nice. So, And for me, what I also like is if you go to some of the bigger retreats, you get a lot of stuff when, you know, there, you have all these designers there, you've got like three or four kits when you come back. And I'm like, I don't know if I want three or four more kits in my stash. So this is, for me, it's nice. They're smalls. To me, it's relaxing.
Yeah. You know?
It's a relaxing time.
So even with your personal schedule then and popping in and out, you felt like you got
Oh yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
See, because then I'm looking at it wrong, cuz I mean, to me it's like, oh, I just can't do 3 days, you know. I just can't. And no. That's wrong. I should be looking at it, sign up, take what I can get out of it and be happy with that. Yeah, okay.
Right. And especially since I was glad I signed up, because I didn't know at the time what she was going to offer for workshops.
Yeah.
So when she offered the maple toque one, I mean, I loved that small. I've always thought it's just wonderful.
Yeah.
And so then I had the opportunity to take that. And so having the videos to watch, to go over, like, I couldn't remember how to do a rice stitch. I've not done that many of them. So I watched that video too. And I haven't done that many queen stitches. So I've got to go watch that video and see, refresh my memory on how to do a queen stitch. And to see her suggestion on where to start, because there's a lot of queen stitches on this piece.
Yeah, that can be an annoying little stitch, yeah.
Yeah, but it's so pretty.
Oh yeah. No, when you're done, if you got a bunch of them, it's worth it. But it'll test you.
Yeah. So, I do like meeting people. Meeting new people, and I do wish I could have spent time just sitting and chatting. But this weekend was just, I don't know why it was so busy. Things were just happening all the time. So I would think, okay, I have a set time, and then there was an interruption and I didn't get to. So
Yeah.
It's just how it was.
Hey, I guess I just need to change my, approach here then. Cause it sounds like you enjoyed yourself even with the limited time you had. So
Right. And it's nice because it's slow, I want to say it wasn't expensive. It wasn't that expensive to do, but it's, I don't know. You don't have a lot of skin in the game. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like like if you put down money to go to the attic, to one of their major retreats, it's like you would be there, right? You know,
right.
And this, it was like, okay, I can pop in and out. You know, I didn't feel bad.
Yeah. So. No, I know what you mean. Cause if you spend a lot of money, you feel the pressure to be there from bell to bell and to participate at every moment. And then somewhere along the way, it's just not relaxing. It's pressure.
Right.
I know what you mean.
Mm-hmm. So this was very nice. Very nice, Kim. Thank you.
Well, I had no doubt that she put on a good event. No doubt whatsoever. And she's looking at getting that shop going middle of October, opening up. So,
yes,
I had a sense she announced here a couple weeks ago when they got the air conditioning on, and I thought, oh, I bet that opens the floodgates to be able to go into that shop and really get to work, you know, because down south there in the summer, trying to work without air conditioning. No.
Right. And I think they're, you know, they had to do some cleaning and painting and that would be just miserable in the humidity and
Middle of October. It looks, I think there's a legitimate shot there. Boy, it's been a long haul for her. Holy smokes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she'll be glad she'll be glad when that's all set up and she has help in there and it's all going. So.
Yeah. Well, and plus I got to believe it's going to be just great fun to be able to open your store and be there all day and people coming in and out and, because there's already been several people, I'd like to make a trip and see you the new store and, what fun that's going to be. So,
And she spent a lot of, time thinking about the rooms and how she's setting up her rooms for this place. And I'm her thread room sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, but for you, that's a low bar, Beth. Sorry.
Those threads on the wall.
Yeah. If Beth's in town, you know where to find her. She'll be in the thread room.
Yes. Oh, I got locked in. Isn't that sad?
Oh, darn. She sent a picture, a drawing. She has some metal artist in the area who has made she had to raise the railing on the, to go upstairs and the landing up there. And this metal artist has created a piece of metal art to go on top that really looks like it's going to be spectacular. So that'll be cool to see.
Yeah. We talked about that because it's got stars and moons on it. And I suggested that it looks like Esther Benson.
Yes.
The sampler. And she's like, I never thought of that. And I was like, it just does. It looks like that archway. I was just like, oh, so it's got to be right there.
Yep.
By those railings.
Yeah. No, it's going to be cool because a historic home, and I'm sure she's kept it as much as possible and enhanced the history and made it feel like you're not going into some steel and glass store. It's, I'm sure there's going to be a real nice feeling to be in there. Yeah.
Right. And then she said next door is a little brewery or something. So that
she was all worked up about that. What was that? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a little restaurant. She says, I think she's counted the steps. I think it's like literally 12 to 20. I mean, that's okay. So, you know, you can, I'm thinking Max might need to go have a flight of beer over there and I can go shopping. You know, I'm just 20 steps away, Max, you know, I'll be right over. You just enjoy your beer and I'll be shopping.
Take your sweet time. And by that, I mean several hours.
Yes. Just enjoy yourself.
You come back a half an hour. I'm going to turn you right around, send you right back. Just,
sorry, I'm not done yet.
Well, that's great. You know, for something like that, to have a place to eat and drink steps away. And then I assume she's still going to do the classroom building in the back. That's just going to be a great destination to go have events. Wow.
Yeah, that'll be nice. It'll be really nice. And that's what she said. You know, you get tired, you go have a snack, go eat lunch. She said the food was very good. She and Everett fried it. And so I was like, oh, yay. Good. Perfect. Yep. Perfect.
Yep. That's going to be good. Well, looking forward to that. Well, we're looking forward to it. Can you imagine how she feels? Can we please get this done?
I know. Oh, it's just been a long, long road. Long road.
I remember when she first mentioned it was just going to be a matter of months and she was going to be open. And it's turned into a long haul. Yeah.
Right. Yep. Right. But
that'll be good. All right. Mm-hmm. So the next soiree, then I gotta take a different approach and get involved here.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because it's worth it, you know? It'll be fun.
Well, yeah. I mean, I had no doubt it was worth it. I just,
it's hard to get that. You know, you think, oh, I've got to be there all the time. Well, I think most people popped in and out.
It's like when you said it went till midnight Sunday night. It's like, that's not happening. It's just not happening.
No.
Yeah. No. So, all right. Well, good. So you had a good weekend then. You win.
I did.
You win the weekend. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Now, I did the promo 2 weeks ago for EGA sponsored a show 2 weeks ago, and I needed you to pronounce the Hispanic.
Este.
I'm sure anybody with any skill at
Spanish.
At Spanish just laughed at me because I had a guess. So all right, so the National Hispanic Heritage Month, and it's the virtual lecture. So it's Dechado.
Dechado.
Dechado. Ah, blew that one.
Dechado.
Dechado. Okay, I got to practice. Yeah. So, all right, so virtual lecture on historical and cultural significance of Mexican samplers. That's the next one. And then, all right, so Mayela Flores?
Yes, that sounds correct.
You have to roll the R, I'll bet, though.
Mayela Flores.
See, I wasn't even close. Yeah.
And I've heard Dr. Lynn Anderson talk about this subject, and it was fantastic. I highly recommend this one. This one is going to be fantastic. I'm going to have to, I don't remember what weekend that is. It's in October, but that one I'm going to definitely get the virtual for, because yeah, it's going to be fascinating.
Yeah. So sign up for that. You got to be an EGA member, but why wouldn't you be?
That's right.
EGAUSA.org. And yeah, it's in October. Now, here in the notes, I thought I had written down what the date was, but it looks like I zapped it out. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
All right. So what's Dechado? What is
Dechado?
That?
I think it means samplers or hand embroidery. I don't know. I looked it up real quick, but I think that's what it means.
Oh, okay.
This sampler, I think, is what it means.
Oh, okay. All right. So, so sign up for that. That's the next one coming up. And Fiber Talk 5, so Fiber Talk and the number 5, all one word, gets it free for you. But you got to be a member of EGA, but believe me, that you'll get your money's worth out of that. So just join and then use Fiber Talk 5 to get your first lecture free. Or if you haven't done a lecture and you're a member of EGA, Fiber Talk 5 will get you a free lecture. Those lectures are top notch.
Yeah. And we still need to talk to them about just sign me up for all of them. Just take my money.
Yep.
sign me up for all of them. Send me a link when it goes to recording, and I'm good.
Yep. That I will put on repeat renewal on the credit card. Yep.
Right.
Sign it up.
They're good. They've been excellent.
Yep. $60. I don't need a discount. As we've said, don't need a discount. 12 times 5 is 60. Put it on the card. Charge me every year. I'm in.
That's right. Yep. It'd be great.
Yep. They're good. So check that out, EGAUSA.org, plus a whole lot of other things. And you can start registering for the national seminar for next year also.
Oh.
And see all of the classes that are coming up too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some really good ones coming up.
It's going to be in Hotlanta there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
in August. It's going to be in August. It's not going to be Labor Day weekend. August in Atlanta.
But see, you're in air conditioning.
Darn right.
So you don't need to, it doesn't matter. You're just going to be inside taking your class anyway. So once you get there, you land into your hotel room and you just stay in.
Darn right you do. Yep.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know where that hotel is at, but I've been to Atlanta too many times for a business, and one of my favorite cities by far. By far. Yeah. Love going there.
I think Textured Treasures is going to be offering a class.
Yep. Isn't she doing the ball?
Is she doing the ball there?
Did I see that right? Oh, I shouldn't say these things without knowing.
I know, and I didn't look. I have not looked at the pictures. I'm trying not to. It'll come in the Met My Magazine, and I'll look through them then. I sit down with a cup of coffee with my EGA magazine and look at. But yeah, I haven't. You know.
That's what comes to my mind. I think it is that ball. Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, but no, for, you're right. She is doing Karen Dudzinski, Texture Treasures. She is doing a class. That I know for sure. Boy, I want to say it was the ball, but even if it isn't, who cares? Take the class. Yeah.
Yeah. Her pieces are fantastic.
Yep. So, yeah. So you can sign up for that too. Yeah, Atlanta, it'll be hot and humid, but believe me, that town is great. It's just great. Yeah. Great airport. Yeah. Really good. Yep. One of my favorites. Though, now that I don't have to travel near as much, I don't care if I ever, you know.
You don't want to go. No. You know, go stay at an airport. Airports right now.
No, pass. What is that? That is, oh, there's a great, no, that's a different place. Oh, never mind. Anyway, yeah. Mm. Sign up for Atlanta National Seminar. It'll be good. It'll be worth it. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to get mm-hmm. to, too, from anywhere, because
right.
all it's the a airlines. Big hub. Mm-hmm. Yep. Do it. Yeah. All right, so.
What are you stitching?
Sarah Parr, I am all in.
Oh, are you?
I am all in. I have been pounding away this weekend. I bet there's 10 hours of stitching this weekend. I've been really working at it.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm cooking along. She's sitting right here. Yep.
So you must be really, really, okay. So when you see the end of a project, does it make you want to work on it more?
I'm at that point. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. No, I got to that point sometime last week. I think I even mentioned it. Well, actually it was a couple weeks ago, cause I mentioned it to Cindy, but, I really got dug in last week and, I'm within shouting distance of this one here. Yeah. It's okay. The bottom band is going rather fast. So, last night I was stitching, had three different threads going. I was working three motifs at once. Yeah.
Wow. Yep.
Oh, no, I want it done. Now, you know, the goal is to have it done for our daughter Sarah's birthday, which is the 28th of October. I hope. Well, I'll have it done, but will I have it framed is the question.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about that, but it'll definitely be done. Yeah. I'm not doing anything else. Everything else is shoved aside. This is it. Sits right here in the middle of the room. And, yep. Was it Sunday?
Good.
Yeah. Sunday, I put up the podcast and then, we had some lunch and then I said to Marga, see ya. And I came down for dinner and actually brought the dinner back upstairs to my little studio room here and just kept going. Football on full force, stitch away. And it was 10:30 at night when I, shut her down finally. Yep.
Good for you.
Pounding
good
away.
Good for you.
It's working out pretty cool. I had to change a couple colors, but I just did it from within the threads that I've been, you know, that go with the thing. But right. Yeah, a couple of them that just not going to stand out against the ground cloth. So I flipped them a little bit. But yep.
Good for you.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, good. Good. Anyway. It's always nice when you get close to a finish.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and you know, I want to get it done because Kathy Renard was the one, you know, that suggested. And so if I could give that to Sarah for her birthday, that would be very cool. Worst case, it's for Christmas, you know, a couple months. So who cares? But right. For her birthday would be really cool. And, but then, I've got these other projects I want to get going on. So, I want to get it done, but yeah. I can smell it.
yeah, I know. And I was working on Mary Parsons. I mean, pretty much just working on her. And I got to a point where I was like, I don't want to stitch on her anymore. I mean, literally had a corner left to do on her. I mean, that was it.
Ooh.
And I was like, okay, one thread, just do one thread and then you can work on something else. And that's what I did. But I powered through because I did get her done. And I put my initials on the sampler. Now, so what are you going to do with Sarah? Are you going to put your initials on there?
I'm going to have below the border, I'm going to say wrought by in my name and the year.
Okay.
But below the border and in a color that's pretty much going to blend with the ground cloth.
Okay. See, and I put mine, there's the maize on Mary Parsons.
Yeah.
And I put, I have a, I call it a chop, but it's like a little signature that I use on my stitching and the date. And I normally don't, I hate to say it, I'm really bad about putting my initials on things until we had someone's stash. And we were looking at the finished pieces of this woman who has recently passed from our guild. And the daughter was saying she was sad. Her mom stopped putting the date on the pieces. So they no longer had them, knew when she stitched them.
Yeah, see.
And she was prolific. So it was, and for them, they were sad about it.
Yeah.
And I thought, my reason for not doing it was, who cares? Oh, who's going to care?
Yeah.
And, but here these kids did care. And I was like, oh, and that, by kids, I mean, younger than me, but still.
Yeah.
Adults.
Yeah. But that's what they're, yeah. I mean, those are the memories that they're going to have. And so,
right.
Yeah, no, I'm going to do that. But now, all right. So here's the question. Okay. So the bottom band is three kind of ornament shaped blocks all connected together. And in the center, it says Sarah Parr, aged 10 years, 1825. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So I'm going to do this Sarah Parr, aged 10 years. But then I wondered on the date if I should find some way to say 1825, and then I think her Sarah's 1981.
Oh.
Should I put that date in there, or leave it pure?
Well, you pretty much reproduced it the way it was.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I guess I don't know. Maybe I put some, would I put the date down when you write the rot by?
Yeah, maybe that's a better place. Yeah, it seems like I should have, since it's for our daughter, it should have something on there. But
yeah, so, and you're going to put rot by, you know, Gary Parr or whatever.
Right.
Even if you could put four.
Yeah, put a little Sarah sentence Parr down there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you could. I mean, that'd be a lot more, because then you're.
It's another week of stitching over one.
Right. Right. And it's over one. It's like, because you want it small. You don't want it.
Right.
You just want it there. And the other thing to do would be when you frame it, put a note on the back saying why you stitched it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that was another thing. I read somewhere there was an exchange with some women, because in this business it would be women instead of men, but where they were talking about what they put. Oh, somebody was asking where to get stickers so she could write the ground cloth and the thread and so on and so forth. And that launched into a discussion about what people do. And one lady said that she puts a sleeve on the back of the frame, on the, you know, the paper.
Mm-hmm.
She puts a sleeve on there and puts the chart right in there. And then other people would copy, like, for instance, you know, you want the history. There's a little history with this thing. But I'm never stitching this again. But I could, you know, copy that page. But there was this discussion about different things that people leave or put on the back that gives some background for the piece, which I thought was an interesting discussion. And just putting a sleeve and putting the chart in there, I thought was a really good idea, you know, if you're not going to do it again or give it to someone.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I like that idea because then it's there. And a lot of times I don't necessarily want to, I don't give them away. I have them, but they're just all stacked up and it's like, well, they might as well be behind in a sleeve behind the piece.
Right.
As in that box of charts downstairs, who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a great idea. I mean, and I like the idea because I know Kim has some of her little squirrel,
right?
Of writing on the back. This is, I don't know if I put all the information about the threads or anything like that, but maybe if you were stitching it for somebody, to me, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, well, and see, that's the thing is for this one, you know, it's going right to her.
Right.
So the only way people will know I did it, as if that matters, or know any history, is if something is kept with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I like the idea. I think I am going to put a sleeve and just put the chart in there because it has the history, and then there's little tidbits, something about the person who reproduced it, and then there's little tidbits on some of the pages about some of the stitching. It just seems like that would be a good thing so that if Sarah is showing it to somebody down the road, well, who is this Sarah Parr 1825? Well, let me pull that out and you can at least read about it. So,
right, right. And it kind of keeps the history of the sampler with your piece. Yeah, I like that idea. I do like it because I'm working on Susan Schlitzker, 1845 by Queenstown Samplers. And it has that little thing on the back about who Susan was. And it'd be like, that would be nice to have with the sampler.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I think, no doubt put my name on it. But I think there's value, particularly with samplers, to adding something so that even if you just Xerox it, but something with the history. But even if you Xerox it, I would laminate it because you know how over time any Xerox, that toner will come off. So
right, right,
yeah.
And the other thing I've heard that people have found is like letters within the sampler in the framing.
Yes.
But that's a little harder to do. But with you and you're giving it to your daughter, that might be interesting too, to write a note in there that you, a handwritten note, which I think is much more valuable than something typed up because it has your hand on your own hand on it. That would be interesting to do.
But, yeah, where I say something sappy.
Yeah. No, just, you know, made it for my daughter. You know, and stuck it in there.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely, it's going to be more than just a sticker on the back, no doubt. Yeah, because you're right. For me to say it's 40 count, blah, 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 with a very Krynek moray, silk moray, who cares, you know?
Right. I don't pay attention to that. That doesn't matter to me.
Right.
Oh, the only reason I would keep that information, though, is if you show at fairs. I think sometimes some of the, not fairs so much, but exhibits, sometimes they want more information. And that way you have it. But.
Yeah. Well, and I think that kind of information is useful if it's something you're keeping for yourself that you might put online. And, you know, the first question is, who is the designer and what'd you stitch it with? So to make those notes on the back of a framed piece is because I don't remember anything.
I don't know. Yeah. No. I can never remember the fabric. Never.
Yeah.
And then,
The only reason I know the thread is because I have extra skeins here. And so there it is. But I don't remember what the linen is. I know it's 40 count, but I have no idea. No idea. It's a 40 count linen. That's it.
And I like it. And it's stitching up fine. Right. Yeah. No, it's nice. It's nice. Good for you, though. Good for you.
We're getting there. It's a big one, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, here, I have a question for you because I'm working on this Queenstown sampler. So, and it, the big motif in the center is over like 4 pages.
Oof.
Would you, I know, would you tape all 4 together?
Oh, absolutely.
Then, okay.
Oh yeah. No, I'd make copies and I'd cut them, cut out the overlay part.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and stitch them, you know, this absolutely, I'd tape this, the stitched area right to it. Then it's so much easier. I've done that before. Rather than, you know, counting and double counting the overlay part to make sure you don't stitch one row too many. Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah. Right. Yep. Without a doubt. Yep.
Yeah. That's, I need to do that because I'm having a hard time just counting over.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, oh.
Yep. No, I forget what one. Oh, it was, no, it wasn't that one. I forget what one it was, but I was, yeah, it's same kind of thing. All right, here's the overlay. All right, that's 4 or 5, and then this. And then I better check that again. And no, just copy it, cut it out, tape it together. Then you don't have to think about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I'm going to, because this is a huge motif. It's one of those big flower baskets in the center.
And those are the hardest, too.
Right.
Yeah. Because there's no straight line anywhere. Yeah.
No. No, and I need it to be, so I just need to tape the thing together, and then I might make 2 copies and cut that big, huge thing out,
yep,
out of the 4 pages.
Yep.
It's all together so I can just stitch that baby.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm 100%. Yep. Trim off all the overlay, grade out stuff. Just, this is what you stitch. It's all put together. Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
And, you know, that's the kind of thing where you think, well, why didn't they print it on a big piece of paper? And then you think, can you imagine, number one, printing, and then it's a fold them up thing, like a roadmap, right, and forget that. So, yeah.
Right, right. And I understand why they didn't do that. And it's, and you know, it's just a matter of making your own personal copies and cutting it all up.
Right.
And I just need to do that. I don't normally cut little motifs out and then use those. But I think on this pattern, I'm just going to have to, because it's a big girl.
Yeah. Well, and those flower pot things, you almost need to color out what you stitch too.
Yes, yeah. I do. I cannot. This one is, the bouquet is so huge. I have to.
Yeah. Or you'll get all confused and yeah.
Yeah. It won't be pretty and yeah. I'll be mad.
Yeah.
I'll be
and
mad.
We don't want that.
It'll go into timeout forever.
No, that's a pretty one. That's going to look great.
Yeah, I think it's the colors that drew me, because it is so bright. I think we saw that when she showed it on Queen.
Yeah.
Barbara Hudson showed it to us, yeah. I think.
Yeah, she gets the good designs, no doubt.
Yes, yeah. She does. She does.
So, all right. So Clara Warshauer's heart, she sent you the heart. So you've started, you've already started on that. Jeez, that was quick.
Yes. Well, I want to get it done for my mom's birthday in December. And and I know Clara keeps saying, you've got plenty of time. I'm like, you don't know.
In Clara world, there's plenty of time, not in Beth world.
No. And for me, I've got to watch I can't just sit and stitch on it. I'm watching her workshop video as I do it.
Oh.
And so I watched it most of the way through once, and I'm going back and I've stitched the heart onto the muslin, and now I've got to stuff it. And so I stopped there because I want to go back and, because she had some hints about how much to put in. I don't want to overstuff it because you're stitching on top of that heart. And then you put pearl around it. It's so pretty. So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to playing with that.
And that's that kid leather stuff?
Yes. And it's nice to stitch through.
Hmm. Because I saw you commented you needed to get more of it. So I figured it must have been pleasant to work with.
Yeah. Who would have known? And I'm like, okay, finish your heart, Beth. Finish the heart, and then if you want to do another one, then you can get more leather. So we'll see.
Beth. I don't do gold work.
I know. I told my son, who always teased me about that. He goes, I said, guess what I'm doing? And he laughed. They just thought that was hilarious that I was working on gold work.
Well, I'm doing the frog, so that the first class is early October. I'm doing Clara's frog. And then she sent another one, she said one of her boxes. And I haven't had a chance to look up, but she was kind enough to include a second kit. So I got to look up and see what it was she sent me. I opened it just so I could drool over all the gold thread stuff and then back to Sarah Parr. So
And again, in the she was talking in the workshop that she likes to offer these gold work boxes. And I remember looking through her site and thinking, why does she offer this grouping of fibers? And she explained, she says, most people, you know, to source everything is difficult and you just want to try it. You want to see, well, how, you know, maybe I could put this in here. So she gives you a variety of threads so you can play with those threads as you work on a project. So I thought that was very interesting.
Oh, so she sent me a box of stuff to play with, not a box to make. Okay.
I don't know. What she does. She does send. She does have these boxes of.
Now when we're done, now I got to go paw through it. Now, okay.
Yes. Okay.
Lay it all out.
I'm sorry. Sorry. Distracted you.
I just wanted to make sure I had the frog in there because I love that frog. That's going to be cool. Yeah.
Yeah, and I had FOMO, so I'm joining you and Cindy.
Yeah, Cindy got sucked in too. Yep.
So now we're going to have to hold each other's feet to the fire to get this frog done.
Yep. It's going to be cool. Yeah, if people are interested, I'm sure there's a room. Clara Warschauer, she was 3 weeks ago, something like that. But you can look her up, Warschauer, and check it out because her little frog is cute.
It is.
Cute one, yep. Got to do that, yep. So, all right, so the not one more thing, crumbling quickly here.
Yes, because.
But for the record, we started in June 1.
Yes.
June, July, August, and it's September 18, we're recording this. So we made it 3.5 months.
Right.
Let's have that on the record.
That's right. And I still haven't officially done anything to break the rules because, you know, classes and buying a thread to do a project doesn't count, right? And research. But Kim is going to restart up her Cosmos Club and her fabric. She's going to start a fabric club. Don't bother her yet. She's busy setting up her shop. She'll announce it.
Leave her alone.
Don't call her. So, and I'm just like, okay, I've got to be back in that club. I just have to.
So there's more Cosmos threads to come. So
yes.
Okay.
And then she has something called Jack Stash that she's thinking about reinitiating. Once she gets the shop open, I think. So you can sign up for that. And I think it was a quarterly box. And
yeah,
I don't really need a...
There's a big sticker goes on that that says danger. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, yeah. And I'm debating on that one. But then I went to my art quilt group this morning. And we were recording on Monday. We discussed painter's threads, and she is going to look into getting some of those threads in her shop. So I was like, oh, well, there you go. That's
go
it.
Go Kim.
I'm done.
Go Kim.
Oh, not Kim. Not Kim. Sorry, my quilt shop.
Oh, your quilt shop is going to.
Yes. I wish Kim was. Kim. Well, but Kim's got her all. She's got limited space. There's only so much she can carry. My quilt shop is going
But
to,
for
so.
You, that's even more dangerous because that's within driving distance.
Correct. Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That will be bad.
Yeah. But that does remind me, if folks want to try some painter's threads, Jane Garrison, who was on with us last Wednesday night, put together. Go to threadnuts.com, and $35 you get a nice sampling of painter's threads, postage included in that $35. Real nice sampling of painter's threads, really worth it. So check that out. Yeah.
Yeah. That's nice. That is. And her threads are so nice. Those are.
Yeah.
Those are fun. Those are fun to stitch with. So.
All right. So you're not one more thing. End is on the horizon.
Yes.
And yes. See, I'm clean to this point. But I want that Inspirations Christmas book.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to break it for me.
And I am looking at, and I haven't purchased it yet, and I just think I'm going to just have to break down and get it, is the Allison Cold Gold workbook.
I have it.
I know you do. I have the stump workbook.
Have
and
it.
And because I swore I wasn't going to do gold work. I said, I don't need this book. And now here I am, Clara.
You need her gold work masterclass book.
I think I do.
This is not a want, desire, wish I had. You need it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Order it up. Yeah.
Just get it, and then then I'll have it for when I need it to reference.
No, that's really good because beginner to advanced all the way through. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very good book. Yep.
I looked through it and it does look like, because one of my local friends has it. And I thought, yeah, this is a great book, but I'm not going to do gold work. Famous last words.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You talk a good game. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, get it. You'll be glad you had it.
I think it's one of those ones that's just, it's good to have those in your library.
Yep. Now I want that Inspirations Christmas book. And I, those special books, what caught me was the, this past week, Georgina Bellamy has a project in the Creamery book. And it reminded me that I always wanted to make sure I had all of those books, because
mm-hmm.
they're just so beautifully done, and I really appreciate a good book. So I'm going to get that Christmas book. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'll put it on my Christmas wish list
mm-hmm.
and see if one of my kids picks it up for me.
Yep. Well, if they're smart, they will. And they are. So they'll pick it up.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
That's
All right. Overrated, underrated. Okay, this one's easy. EGA virtual lectures.
Absolutely. You need to do it.
Yep.
Underrated.
Underrated by a long, long shot. Do it. Yep.
Absolutely.
Now this one, okay, that was just kind of a warm up. Ortbowls. Yeah. Ortbowls. Tell me about Ortbowls. Underrated, overrated.
I think they're underrated. I think I wish I had put some out when we did our workshop. Something for people to stick their little orts in while we were stitching. I mean, people normally don't sweep them on the floor, but occasionally they go on the floor if you don't have a place to throw them while you're in a group. And so my little ort bowl is sitting right here. It's full of threads, and I will eventually just throw them away. I just leave them there because, that's where they sit. But it's pretty. The little wooden one. And you have three of them.
Make it five. Ones. Five.
What?
Yeah.
Five?
Yeah. I have four wood ones from that Mike guy. And then I have the porcelain one that Kim from Sassy Jack's that some lady near Asheville made.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, I have five of them.
So you stitch that much. You can just different colors in each little bowl, right?
No, I have five of them because I'm ridiculous. No, it's not because I stitch that much. I'm just ridiculous. Well, and for me, I'm going to go, like, when I look at my ort bowls, way overrated. because there, what I've spent on fine wood made ort bowls is ridiculous.
Right.
You know, an ort bowl could be, you know, an old coffee cup, for crying out loud.
Right.
But yeah, I look at these and I go, wow, that's overkill.
That's, but they're pretty. They're pretty. Yeah. But okay. So, but the thing is, there, it's nice to have that little bowl sitting right next to you as you drop the little piece of thread, like your waist knot that you've cut off, the last little bit of thread. If not, before I kept ort bowls, I was always looking for the trash can. And if it was just far enough to be out of my reach, it would not hit the trash can.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd come back later and I'm like, oh, I need to vacuum. They're all over the floor. So that's why I like them, because they're within arm's reach. They're close and I can drop it in my little ort.
Yeah, I guess it's a ort bowls, or the concept of ort bowls. And yeah, I think there's a real legitimate function for some kind of a container to put your little clippings in.
Right.
And the practical person will say, well, just put a basket at your feet and drop it in. Yeah. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No.
No, because then I'll trip. I trip on it.
Right.
Because I'm a klutz. Yeah.
No, right. Oh, yeah. I'd kick it over in a heartbeat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'd be a mess. And so, yeah.
So.
It's the little orb. It, yeah. But it, they don't need to be fancy.
No.
But it, they are pretty.
What
nice
fun.
Nice to look at.
What fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Something to collect. Oh, no. No. Yes.
Well, like yeah, this no, one from no. the Kim had a whole bunch of them made here several years ago. This porcelain clay handmade. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what I have is one of a kind, you know? It's kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
the and other, it's a memory.
Yeah. And the other wood ones are all one of a kind. You can't get these anywhere else. Some rare exotic woods, and they're just cool.
Right.
So I bought them. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah.
And they look, yeah. And you use them for your orts.
I do. And there's something in every one of them.
Is there?
Yeah. And it's ridiculous. But I don't care.
Yeah. My little wooden one is getting a little full. I need to. Sometimes I put them all in my. I keep them till the end of the year, my orts. I put them in a blue ball jar by my main stitching area.
Yeah.
And then I look at them. And I remember what I stitched and what I ripped out, and then I throw them in the trash can.
There you go. Yep.
And of course, people put.
Yeah. Why do you keep them that long will be the question from the practical people. I don't know.
Actually, if you've ever stitched on a piece and you're like, oh no, I need one little piece of that thread.
That's right.
And dug through your ort bowl.
That's right.
I don't do it very often, but I did have to do it once. And that was enough that I kept them. But I do eventually. Some people do put them in like the, you know, the glass bulbs.
Right.
Because it does, like looking through my orts, the colors remind me of what I was stitching and what I have been stitching through the year. So. I can see why people do that, especially if you're prolific and you get a lot of stitching done. But,
right.
You know, some of us wouldn't be able to fill a ornament ball with our.
No.
And that would be me, unless I've done a lot of ripping, and then who wants to remember that?
Yep. But absolutely, and you're right, I have pulled a length of thread out a couple of times. Yeah. Like, oh, man, and one more stitch. I need a piece of thread. Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Get it. Right. And do not put orts out for birds to make nests with. Bad move. Don't do it.
No.
You'll see people talk about that. Don't do it. Mm-mm. Nope. In the trash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not good.
Yeah. And who was it we talked to? And she took her orts and she stitched them. She's from Australia. People are yelling her name at me. Anyway, she would take her leftover orts and stitch them onto a piece, kind of do like freehand.
Oh yeah, who was? Oh,
meditative
remember.
Stitching.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It'll come to us after we're done recording. So.
Right, right, because I follow her on Instagram.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Sorry.
Artist tape.
Overrated.
Hmm.
I use blue painter's tape.
Okay, and I would claim that's an equivalent.
Yeah. Okay. So, but I do use tape around my canvas.
Yes.
Needlepoint canvas. I used to, and I found a piece actually at my mother's house that I put masking tape around that I did when I was a little girl.
Yuck.
Yeah. But yuck. I wouldn't have known.
Right.
I mean, I was probably 11, you know. It was Holly Hobby, you know. That's the. And you touch it, and it's like, oh.
Now, if you're going to put masking tape on and you're going to stitch it within a couple of months and be done and have it framed or finished so it gets cut off, that's fine.
Right.
If it's long term, oh, that's disgusting. Yeah.
Yeah. And I found it on a piece of canvas before I knew that I shouldn't use. I was just trying to, you know, because it catches on the needlepoint canvas. I had masking tape on that. And it was a. I ended up throwing the piece away, I think, because I had made a major mistake on the stitching.
Yeah.
And it couldn't be redeemed. And I was like, why am I holding on to this? And then I touched that masking tape and it was just like, oh, this has got to go. The whole thing, just throw it away.
Yeah. I don't know what happens to that adhesive on masking tape, but over time it just gets gooey and runny and ugh.
Yeah. It's not nice. It's not nice.
Now, see, artist tape for me, underrated. Because to me, artist tape or painter's tape, removable tape, basically. I think it's essential if you're doing needlepoint canvas of any kind. You got to put tape on the edge or you'll snag your threads and ruin them. Mm-hmm. And you always snag it on the last two or three stitches of a giant Jessica.
Or right? A Walnutto.
Right? Yeah, or a walnut. Right. Yep. Right, don't you? And then there's that frayed piece right there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So do it. But I use artist tape quite a bit to clean up fuzz on cross-stitch pieces or any piece. I'll peel off a piece and use that and just lay that down on after I've torn out a section. And then I'll put it on both sides of the ground cloth to pull away the fuzz.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So I use that definitely more often than I use it to edge canvas. I kind of keep it around handy. It's just a real good collector for all that little fuzz so that you, if you tear something out, you're stitching on a much cleaner ground cloth.
Right, and I know I've used that when I had to rip something out that was like a red or a pink.
Yeah.
Normally, and then I was like, oh, let me go find that tape and pull that off.
Yeah.
I mean, I tried brushing it, I tried picking at it with my tweezers, which I like to have, which are perfect when you have to do reverse stitching like that. But the tape, that's a good idea.
Yeah. It works very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice.
And artist tape, you go to an art store and just get the generic tape you get a big roll for next to nothing and it lasts forever. So, yeah. But, Lowe's or Home Depot for painter's tape, it'll work.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Overrated, underrated, giving needlework as a gift.
I think it's overrated. I'm very picky about who I give stuff to. I mean, I have to know that if I give it to them, it's going to be a small piece. Like I give a lot of the Mill Hill bead kits because they're relatively quick for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I like doing them, but I know they're just, so if they throw them away, it doesn't matter. I would not give a large stitch piece to somebody unless I knew they were going to keep it. And it would be so hard to give something away.
Yep. Same here. Way overrated. No way. Nope. Won't give as a gift. Now, and then, of course, I'm giving the Sarah Parr to our daughter, but the only way I'm giving it to her is I showed her at one point and said, I'm stitching this. This is, you know, it's got your name on it. It's very cool, all the history and stuff. I said, if you want it, you can have it. But if you're not going to hang it up, if you know, if it's just something you're going to sit in a corner because you're being nice to me, don't be nice to me because right. I'm not going to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I just was just absolutely blunt. If I want you to have it if you want it. But if you right. don't want it or are even hesitant, I'm not giving it to you because it's a boatload of work and a lot of expense to have it framed. And I'm not going to have it sitting in a corner getting kicked over by the kids, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I wanted to do an octopus needlepoint for my sister. And I looked at the price of the canvas and I looked at the price of the threads. And my sister redecorates her house probably every 6 years or so. So I knew if I stitched it and she said if I made her anything she wanted it as a pillow,
mm-hmm.
she in about 6 years it would have been in Goodwill.
Yeah.
And I thought, no, I love you, but you're not worth that.
Nope.
But not the time. And not only the expense of all the needlepoint canvas and the threads, which we know are expensive. But the time, then you're putting in, right. you know, a good year of work on a piece like that.
Yep.
I was like, no, I love you, but I'll just buy you buckets of chocolates.
Nope. Yeah, way overrated.
You'll be happier.
Yeah, that's why I'm so impressed with when people do commission work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what the art form is. When they do commission work, and yeah, you get paid for it, but you're giving that away.
Right.
Holy smokes. I would find that hard. Yet most artists you ask, it's like, yeah, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
No. And to make, even to make things for exchanges, we are doing a Christmas ornament exchange with my local guild. And people are hesitant to do it because, as I said, they've been quote unquote burned several times with the exchanges where they've made something really nice. And they've not gotten something nice back in return.
Yeah.
And so that's even hard, even doing those exchanges, which, you know, you're giving to another needle worker. And I know that's tough.
Yeah. So. Now, way overrated. Yeah. Not going to do it. But I will say, and this one shocked me, long ago, I did an embroidery piece. It was a wedding wreath piece. I'm sure it was a kit from, you know, Lee Ward's. Remember those?
Yes. Uh-huh.
For my sister, my youngest sister, the one I ride bikes with. I'd completely forgotten that I did it. And we're talking, I don't know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I don't know, long time ago. Completely even forgotten that I did it. She still has it hanging in her bedroom.
Oh, nice.
And she, I said, you still have that? I don't even remember doing it. Oh, yeah. She says, yeah, it hangs right here. And I said, let me see that thing. Because I figured I'd just done a real hack job on it, you know.
Right.
No, wasn't too bad. A couple spots where I'd have tightened things up, but it wasn't too bad. I thought, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a rarity. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think quilters are the same way, you know, to give one of your quilts away and then to find it's being used as a dog bed or,
right.
you know.
Yep.
No.
Yeah. 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 It's where people put their muddy shoes by the back door. Yeah. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Mm-mm. No.
All right.
You.
One more. Tension.
Underrated. You got to have good tension.
Yep.
On anything you're stitching.
Yep. Agree 100%. Yep.
And I'm working on this
Susan piece, this Queenstown sampler, and it's on that 37 count. Oh, and I can't remember the name. It's our favorite, Legacy Linen.
Mustard seed?
No, not mustard seed. It's the
Russian tea cake.
There you go. Russian tea cake. And I have, if I don't pull enough on my thread, the floss, when I'm stitching through, the stitches don't lay right.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a tighter weave.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was working on Mary Parsons, and it's 36 count or something, 37 count, who knows. And I had to be careful not to pull too much, because then I crunched those, because it was a looser weave on the linen.
Yep.
But yeah, I never used to think it mattered so much. Oh, and then Gayan Rogers drawn thread sampler.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about needing to be careful about your tension.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think way underrated there. That is something that I think should be front of mind every mm-hmm. stitch.
Yes.
To the point where it's second nature. Yeah, you need to be thinking about your tension and making sure. And it varies depending, like you said, with the ground cloth or if it's a needlepoint canvas, different kind of tension.
Right. Or threads. Stitching with the Varissois versus stitching with DMC or stitching with the Goldblins, like we're doing on the 17th century.
Mm-hmm.
The tension on that is different than other things.
Yep. Yep. No, I think that's one of those top of mind, first on the list type things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And some techniques I think are really, like if you're doing hard anger or any sort of white work where you're cutting those threads and you're reweaving them, just being so careful of that tension, because you know you're wrapping something and you loosen just a little bit and then the whole, it all slides together. I don't know if you've ever had that happen to you. I just did the other day. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, now I'm going to play with this thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's, tension. And if you use different techniques, you find out quickly that you also need to use, like we said, different tension, and it varies, and the same kinds of threads will be a different thing with a different technique. Yeah, you got to really stay on top of it. And if you do, worth it.
Yeah. Right.
Big difference in your piece.
Right. And okay, so a lot of the cross-stitch pieces now, the samplers have eyelets, and having all your little eyelets be close to the same size, it makes the piece look nicer.
Yep. Yep. Oh, that's a classic example right there. Someone who does eyelets consistently, where the opening is consistent, and mm-hmm. someone who's all over the road, oh, man, it's like night and day in terms of how that visually how that piece looks, night and day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yep. Tension, big one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a matter of practice on that one. You know, I know my tension has gotten better as time has gone on.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. I wonder, that's interesting. I wonder if you went to some master stitcher and asked them if they would say, oh, I pay attention to it all the time, or it's just second nature, don't think about it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I wonder. Yeah, I wonder, because I think for people who are very good at it, I think it becomes second nature. Especially if they stick to one technique. Because I flit around, obviously, to different techniques, so I always have to pay it more attention as I change from technique to technique. But if you're talking about someone who just mainly does white work, then, like Yvette Stanton, I wonder if it's just second nature with her. She knows you got to give it a good pull. This is how much pull she gives every time she does an eyelet. So
yeah,
it's just kind of second nature.
Yeah. Well, and that's definitely a divider point. Is if you're always using, like, say, Yvette Stanton, let's just pick on her. Same ground cloth, same threads all the time.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. You can get your tension right. But now if you do different techniques, for instance, for me, if I do needlepoint, I like it tight. Like I pull pretty good. But then you go to do a sampler with silk thread. Holy smokes, you'll just ruin it. And right. So then you got to go back and forth. You got to, and it takes me a minute. Like if I've been working on a needlepoint piece and then go to do a sampler, I more than once I've gone, ooh, boy, rip that out way too tight. Yeah. And mm-hmm. got to adjust. Yep.
Right. Right. And I think it changes with your, when you're with your ground linen. So. Yeah. With your mood. Yeah, definitely. But like I said, with this Mary Parsons, it's a much more open weave of linen than the legacy linen that I'm using. And so I had to be careful. I was working on one and moved to the other. I had to pay attention to my tension, or I was ripping stuff out and redoing it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yeah.
Okay. Way underrated.
Mm-hmm. Way underrated.
All right. That's it. Okay. Holy smokes.
Oh my.
Just looked at the clock. Holy smokes. That is definitely it. Wow. All right. Sue Reed on Sunday. Tremendous conversation. Really great lady. Really talented. Don't miss that. And then Stitch Hour next Wednesday. Thanks for listening.
Bye.